God says to Abram, do not be afraid, for I am your shield. Jesus says to his disciples, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Especially in times as such we live, as such as we live. But the word comes to us over and over again in Scripture, do not be afraid, because what I have promised you is true. What I have promised you is true. Abram's a little put out with the Lord. He said, get up and go, you and Sarai. Y'all are only 75 years old or so. Get up and leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land that I will show you, but I'm not going to tell you where it is until you get there. Just get up and go. I don't know if I would have done that. I probably would have asked for a second opinion. But they got up and went. And the Lord kept telling Abram and Sarai, you will have descendants as numerous as the stars in heaven. Count them if you can. That's how many descendants you're going to have. And here they are, now approaching 100 years of age. And they have still not born an heir. And Abram's telling the Lord, what's wrong here? I did what you asked, but the heir of my house will be Eliezer of Damascus, and I don't even like him. But God again promises, don't be afraid. This is going to happen. Sarai will bear you an heir of your own line, and your descendants will be innumerable. And so Abram believed or trusted God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. There's an old evangelical hymn, some of y'all probably know, Standing on the Promises. Y'all know that? Standing on the Promises. That's what we do, isn't it? We stand on the promises of God. When my mom passed away back in May, my dear friend Morgan Gardner, retired priest of this diocese, sent me a text that basically said, don't be afraid. All that we believe is true. I love that. All that we believe is true. We can count on it. Even though all those matriarchs and patriarchs in Genesis and Exodus did not fully see these promises come to fruition, they kept on trusting. They kept on believing that good things were coming to them because God had said, good things are coming to you. Jesus this morning makes it even more clear. Don't be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. To give you and me, the kingdom, a gift of incalculable value. How are we to receive that gift? What are we to do with it? Jesus gives us some clues as the reading goes on from Luke. But that's a question that I think comes to each of us every day. How are we to unwrap the gift of the kingdom? How are we to take that gift, give thanks for it, and put it to use in our lives and most importantly, in the life of this community gathered here. Those present, those streaming in, those absent from us today, we're all bound together in the unity of the one Spirit of God, aren't we? And that promise of Jesus is for us here at Grace Church Asheville. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. These promises are some that we can stand on, as the old gospel hymn says. We can stand on the promises, even if we don't see the immediate fruition of them. Have any of y'all ever been disappointed that God didn't do for you exactly what you wanted, exactly when you wanted it to happen? Lord, I've been praying. I've been praying my heart out. I don't see anything happening here. That's been the situation that people of faith have been in from the beginning of faith in humans. We, as the author of the letter to the Hebrews, tells us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And some days that's hard, isn't it? To have assurance of things that we hope for but cannot yet see. We want tangible results, Lord, and we want them now. We want them right now. But God keeps telling us, I have my own schedule here, and everything that I promise you is true. Will you act as if they are true? That's the question, isn't it? Will we act, will we live as if the promises we stand on are actually true and that the benefits promised are indeed coming to us? And in fact, they're here right now, aren't they? We are heirs of the promises given to Abram and Sarai and all of the matriarchs and patriarchs of Israel, prophets, priests, kings. Excuse me. The promises made to us by Jesus himself. We are the inheritors of those things because the kingdom of God is ours right here, right now. At our lectionary study over at St. Andrew's Canton this past week, one of my dear friends, Methodist colleague, Peter Constantian, said that he had been to a luncheon over at Central Methodist Church in Clyde. Y'all know where Clyde is, right? And at that luncheon, they're still feeding Helene victims every day. And there's all kinds of people there. People that are hungry for a good meal, but most importantly, people that are hungry for fellowship, for community, and the grace that comes with that. And nothing is charged, and everybody just sits around and talks and eats and shares their experiences, where they are, what's happened to them, what do they hope will happen coming out of this great disaster which continues to affect all of us in this region after all of these months. And Peter said, you know, the kingdom was present there in its fullness. And I said, yeah, it was a snapshot of the kingdom, wasn't it? In that moment, with that community gathered from all different kinds of churches and some no churches at all, just people who were hungry for bread and hungry for fellowship, gathered. And the promise of Jesus that the Father would give us the kingdom was made real at that meal and continues to be made real every time God's people gather to do the work that Jesus invites us to take up with him. Oftentimes, preachers will talk about covenant obligations and the duties of discipleship that come with accepting the call of Jesus. I don't think of them as obligations or duties. I think of them as privileges. The privileges of citizenship in the kingdom of God that we have been transferred into through no merit of our own. We can never earn the grace and mercy that we've received. There's no way. There's no work that we can perform that will put us right with God, because God has put us right with God through the mercy and grace and love of Jesus Christ. So how are we to respond? If we indeed believe that we have received the promises, how are we to act? How are we to live? How can this place, this group of people, become a snapshot of the kingdom? I want to tell you, you're doing it already, all the time, in all kinds of ways. Through safe shelter, through providing backpacks and school supplies to children, with food drives, and feeding the hungry, feeding ourselves and community together, the picnic lunch cookout next Sunday will be a snapshot of the kingdom, will it not? We'll all be gathered together, praising God, thanking God. Kim gets to slide down the corkscrew slide when we bless the playground. And it'll be a snapshot of the kingdom of God right here, right now. I have a grandnephew whose name is Loy, and baby Loy is being baptized this morning at Selwyn Avenue Presbyterian Church in Charlotte. And that's where my daughter Erin and her husband Derek and my grandson Thomas are this morning, standing with Loy and his parents and godparents as God promises the kingdom to him. Just as God invited us into the kingdom and promised it to us at our own baptism. So shoot up a little prayer for baby Loy this morning as he receives the sacrament of new birth, even if it is in a Presbyterian church. That's okay. Jesus loves us all the same and gives us the same promises. One sign that we trust God and trust God's promises is happening among us right now also. In fact, it's two signs. Our vestry. Y'all need to hug their necks every time you see one of them, because they are doing two jobs simultaneously. They're doing the regular work of a vestry of a parish, and they're also serving as a discernment committee who will prayerfully discern who will be our next priest and pastor here at Grace Episcopal Church. That's a mighty undertaking for any vestry, to do both of those jobs simultaneously, and then to throw on top of that a newly formed stewardship committee that's going to be inaugurating the stewardship campaign for 2026, when we have to gather our resources in and use those resources to further the mission of this place under new clergy leadership in the coming year. That's a lot going on here at one time. Can we do it? Do you trust the promises of God? Do you believe that God will raise up a faithful pastor for this congregation and that our vestry, serving as a discernment committee and vestry, will discern who that person is and that the kingdom will flourish more and more as these things come about? If you believe that the kingdom that Jesus promises the disciples is a gift, just as Abram and Sarai believed that God's promises were a gift to them and their descendants, how then will we receive that gift? How then will we open it and put it to use? Thankfully. Because the question as we engage the stewardship season will be, how grateful are we? How thankful are we for all that God has done for us? And how much do we want to participate in the ongoing kingdom work of being Grace Episcopal Church in Asheville, North Carolina? Because y'all do kingdom work here, not just church work, but kingdom work. Because it's been the Father's good pleasure to give you that kingdom and invite you in and seal you with water and the Holy Spirit in baptism and anoint you as a royal priesthood in the house of God to do the work of God through the power of Jesus Christ in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit until the Lord returns in glory. I know in my heart that you all are up to the task, because I have come to know you again after a 30 plus year absence, and I can see it every time we gather for worship, to be fed in word and sacrament and music and fellowship. We are growing stronger and stronger every day. That's not to say there's not a mighty task before us, because there is. Because I know that you trust God, and I know that you trust the promises of God. And I know that it is reckoned to you as righteousness, just as it was to Abram. One of the canticles in morning prayer, I think it's the second song of Isaiah, has some verses, and I repeat that canticle in my nighttime prayers every night. For as rain and snow fall from the heavens and return not again, but water the earth, bringing forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread for eating, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I have purposed and prosper in that for which I sent it. God's word is being accomplished in you, in us, right here, right now. And if I had my little Kodak, I could get a snapshot of the kingdom from the pulpit this morning. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be grateful for, because it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen. Thank you.